Gördüğün zaman erbabın kullanmadan belki Allah'ın Şimdi yolla bandıra doğru kanka yoldan da ben bu kazandım benden de ben bir zor ortaya. Bugün ne geldi de diyor duyan da ama güven diye diyorum diyor konca be tamam ben marka bir kebe tırağım da diyor zor diyor. Kanka yanda da derim bu diye ne diyorsa döndüm bir işin daha bana kevan zor da zor diyor namaz. Pavallah ben zorla diyor. Kocin Anda çocuğundan gencidin adı yollamak ya bakan suda tanıdın bir küçük temiz. Sen bana de bazen diyen de Yönde daha diye diye daha kemi kemi vada kemi taşıdı ankore mankore. Maranda de karode güre den zovada oluyanın beşiden male male bana ye kokore kakadas. Kazan de o müge param müge müge gemme tanı zavada para falan dedi. Ben müda mara pagya sadan bedon büda mıdrana gata da sabah mari. Pucarı da para giden ben kazanda sabah mara karman. Daha diye diye da kemi kemi vat. Kemme da gire angore mangore marante de karote kere ten rovata olu yanen beş gidi. Male mala pana ye kukere kakata se tasa da om ke param ke am ke kemme da. Sava ta apenda nane nede to sava para pavandana bimuda mara paya. Sata ambe to ambuda mudra nangata to sava mare puja rada pare shute benga zidu. Sava mara garman da diye diye da. Kemi kemi vade kemi de gede ankore mankore marantı de karate kere ten duyat. Vade olu yanın beküden male mala pana iye kokede kakata de tasa. Omge paramge amge kemi tana sava ta hapinda nane nedeto. Sava para pavandana bimudam marapahya sadam bat. Ben bedoğum budam mıdır anıngı da sabah mara bu dara da para şüde ben gazet. Sabah mara garman. Tren yancı anlatın diye. Tugan diye. Tren da. Sagat devi dani nihunga aci dani tambo tatuchu zambo tuche barji sagat dawa dani ti thola dani nihunga de dani tan kandrum bomji dani dawe ke dani tuchi a te ma se ke dani dani nihunga de sagat devi dani nihunga de Tenin de gong choba. Yidin sun bin gong bu. Tenin ta gu. Hiwe. Nge. Tenin tu jin che ta tu jin. Sun zom de ta tenin ki tu che par jin. Ki gab la pa ba re is.
So again, today we meet again for this auspicious gathering. It is auspicious in time, in very special means. We are in the fourth Tibetan lunar month, the so-called Sakadava. And today within the Sakadava, it is the 25th day, which is actually the Dakini day. It is a day where 100,000 Dakinis naturally gather. On top, it is also the day of commemoration of the Nirvana of the great Lord Chikten Sumgen. So it's very three special, auspicious things coming together in this special day. So the great Lord Jigten Sumgen, he was born in the auspicious time and according to the Tibetan calendar. And according to the Western calendar, he is born in 1143 after Christ. So, and it's the day also when he was born, so on this special day, so it is the month, the Tibetan lunar month, it's the fourth Tibetan lunar month, Sakadava, and again, as mentioned before, the day, according to the constellation, it's the 25th day. So, and he passed away in Nirvana according to the Western counting of 1217 in the year of the fire sheep.
That then a matter of that train for that train part of La Peggy, that law, Jija Sum, Ruizari.
So, and if we count from his passing into Parinirvana to today, so there will be 803 days.
What did that day then under Kyota? You are getting some Jungo Kong, Gumbai.
So this is a very special day, as we said, when Lord Jigten Sumgen passed away into a Parinirvana. We could also say passed away for the benefit of sentient beings. So this is this auspicious day.
That jiri siya de, that peche, that chikpa chikpa nawa de, ngaranso ke chi, sosu ke chi, that pa ma la soba, that te la soba, nirang la soba, chongru du, chi tane, tine te jiri si na nga to, that toto lindron tine chigwa, o that pe te daan, that halam rao na chisur da, chitang da, rodang din rao na jiri si.
Larumji, ngadi shira gomason, tarunjik sumranang.
Ta jidin siya de, ngaran so yana pa dan ma dan, ten so chon ro du la tene, ta tutu lan ro na tene, jidin sung su shigidwa. Erwa?
Zaya, zaya larumji shira, zaya la, gozo.
O ta ten rao na ji, erwa ta, halam, jidin chenlo de ta, te ma do ko tong de, jidin koran gong o de ta jikbar ji, erwa.
So, if we make an analogy, a metaphor in a worldly sense, it is like if somebody very precious to us, like one's own dear father or mother would pass away, we would bring them to a funeral. So that's like in a worldly context. So here in the more refined context, it's that was the passing away of Lord Jigten Sumgen. So to remember the Lord Jigten Sumgen on this very special day in general, and you know, on this very special day, it is very appropriate to accumulate a vast amount of merit to do the practice of seven branch prayers and accumulation. and particularly also to remember his kindness. So, if we look more in detail at the Lord, the protector, Chikten Sumgen, generally among the Tibetan schools, we have the Kagyu school, and there's many sub-schools as known in the Kagyu. So, we're talking here of Chikten Sumgen as the founder of the Drikun Kagyu. So if we look at the lineage of the Drikung, of the Lord Chikten Sumgen, if we look at the gate of entrance of the lineage, it started with the great Adi Buddha, Buddha Vajradhara, and then it passed down to the Mahasiddha Tilopa, Naropa, Marpa, Milarepa, and from Milarepa to Gampopa, and then to Pamodropa. So, and if we look at the lineage of the Kagyu, the lineage of the spreading of different lineages, we have like a we talk of four grade schools and eight sub schools. So we heard before, we had Gampopa in the lineage, and his student was Pamodrupa. Pamodrupa had famously eight very close students, and from there the lineages branched off. So in our lineage here, the Drikung Kagyu. So originally we had like there were eight branches, eight lineages. These days the situation is a little bit different. So we have very big schools like obviously the Drupa Kagyu and the Karma Kagyu and also Drikun Kagyu would be called among them. Then we have a little bit smaller schools, sub-schools. One of them would be the Taglong Kagyu, Shangpa Kagyu, Tsarpa Kagyu. And so we could call them different lineages or also different doctrines. And then there's even some schools, some sub-schools, which disappeared. So henceforth, these days, we talk of three, sometimes four or five big Kagyu schools. So lineage is extremely important, and just in the last moment when we mentioned some lineages disappeared, that means a lineage gets interrupted, and if a lineage is interrupted, the school disappears. But still, luckily today we have great schools like the big schools like Drupa Kagyu, Karma Kagyu, Kamsang, and Drikung Kagyu, also Shangpa Kagyu obviously is still there. And again, these other lineages which disappear means the lineage got interrupted. And if lineage is interrupted, there is no blessing. So if we look on the appearance of Chikten Sumgen and how he appeared, so it goes back to all the lineages of the Buddha Shakyamuni, and in particular, he received a vast amount of instructions of sutra and tantra from this lineage. So there's different prophecies, as I said, according to Sutra and Tantra, which point to the coming of Lord Chikten Sumgen, according to the primordial wisdom, which is expounded in the sutras, for example, which goes back to the word of Lord Buddha Shakyamuni. It says, in future, in the degenerated time, in the snowy ranges of the north, there will be a guide for beings, a guide which is guiding people according to their needs with the name of Rinchen Pal. So that's a name of Chikten Sumgen. So it says he will be famed and well known in this world and be renowned under his name. Then also in many tantras, he's mentioned, his coming is mentioned in the Kunzang Togme Gyu, Kunzang Togme Tantra, and many other tantras, there is mentioned that there will be an appearance of a Chikten Sumgen. And then also according to the teachings which the Buddha taught, like according to the first turning of the wheel, the Four Noble Truths, in this context on sutras, there's also the mentioning of prophecies of Chikten Sumgen. In the second turning of the wheel, with essence of the 8,000 verses of the Madhupracha Paramita, there is a prophecies which point to the coming of Lord Chikten Sumgen. Also in the third turning, for example, in the Paljin Shepardo, there's also a mentioning of Lord Chikten Sumgen. On top, there's many prophecies that Chikten Sumgen, that actually a second Nagarjuna will appear, or that Chikten Sumgen is the one which is non-dual, inseparable from Nagarjuna. Henceforth is also often called an emanation of Nagarjuna or the second Nagarjuna.
Mm-hmm.
So what I will explain today and transmit is an essence teaching of Lord Chögyam Sumgön. It is called the Fivefold Path of Ma Mudra. Chögyam Ngaden.
Da Chögyam Ngaden Seyade, Chödang Danda Chögyam Ngaden Seyade, Soi Jige Masangwa, Yige Masangwa, Ndo Da Ju Kani Mewa, Jowa Ke Songkya Wa Jin Mari. Ena ya,
So if we look at the fivefold path of Ma Mudra, generally we can say that the teachings of the Lord Buddha Shakyamuni in the two classes of Sutra and Tantra are extremely manifold and very profound. So it doesn't accompany all the vast array of all the Sutra teachings and Tantra teachings, but it's the quintessence of the practice. How do we really apply the essence of all these teachings of the Buddha in Sutra and Tantra? How do we henceforth bring it on the path? And this is exactly what is essentialized in the fivefold path of Ma Mudra. So henceforth, we could say of the great vehicle, there is no teaching which is in essence not included in this fivefold path of Ma Mudra.
Lam Samo, Yanin Tanjik, Nenga, Samon di Constantly, Mandu Mies, or this one.
So, generally, if we look, there's many people in the West, but also in the East, who say, like, I have an inclination to Buddhism. I would like to embark on the path of Buddhism. How can I embark? Or how can I even become a Buddhist? So, if we bring this in the context now of this fivefold path of the Lord Chögyam Sumgön, generally we realize that we will not have the leisure or the capacity to read all the words of the Buddha, of the Kangyur and the Tengyur, the direct words of the Buddha and all the commentaries, these vast volumes. So henceforth, if we want to bring it into the essence of the practice, that which we can really incorporate and apply, this would be this fivefold path of Ma Mudra. In fact, there's nothing in essence which is not included in this fivefold path of Ma Mudra.
Pena tereje trabali yung kala tachera de kanjo de maji lo na tinata sena kanjo po de jala tujiri tate tambo lo gono lo kiji ma lo na yang tini tina ni ta kandeji kingo ni gono baso ta kandeji nani yang juku ngdo kenza nda baso ta kandeji yang za gu ngdo ti kaka ingo tu marwa o ti yin tani di kiwa rambo kindi song de ta lam sirika ta Lamrava, Lam Samo, Lam Samo. Tarpa Lam Roya, Sanjay Confan Royala, Lam Samo. You charge a chimpanzee, not consider Yaning Ninga and Dina and Jesu.
So, if we look, for example, of the Buddha's teachings, just the Kangyur, we have more than 100 volumes, 100 plus volumes. And if we would try to read them all, first of all, this would be a vast endeavor. It would be so much, but then even if we would read, would be able to read it, we would think, well, how do we actually apply it? What are the individual steps? How do we incorporate it? So this would be quite challenging, and there would be actually no limit to this. But then here, again, on the other hand, the fivefold path of Lord Chögyam Sumgön, it is extremely profound. It is a direct path which can lead to liberation, and it is a path which can excuse me, even lead to a full Buddhahood. So henceforth, we have this the path of the fivefold Mahamudra. So if we look now at this actual text, the fivefold path Mahamudra, it is a song of realization written by the Lord Chitan Sumgern himself. And the first verse here, it says, if the rays of helping others, if the distance of the rays of helping others has not been fully covered upon the stallion of love and compassion, the cheers from crowds of gods and humans will not come, so persevere in this primary intention. So that's the beginning, the nondro, the primary intention or the preliminaries. So if we look at Nondro, Nondro means a preliminary practice. How do we apply it? What is the actual practice of the Nondro? We have two, a general and a special or specific Nondro. The general or common Nondro is the four thoughts which turn the mind away from samsara. And then we have the four uncommon parts of Nondro, which are, the uncommon parts of Nondro are like the motivation and taking refuge, purification of obscurations through the practice of Vajrasattva. Then we have the accumulation of the twofold heaps of merit and wisdom, which is the practice of the mandala offering. And then to receive finally the blessing through the Guru Yoga. So this is the common and uncommon Nondro, which was just mentioned. And then we have the special Nondro. Like a special feature of the Nondro is actually the giving rise to an altruistic motivation of loving kindness and compassion, and then the generation of the mind of enlightenment. So the stages for giving rise to bodhicitta or the mind of enlightenment, the first step of it is the meditation, contemplation and meditation of loving kindness. So loving kindness, generally, we should extend loving kindness to all sentient beings, but in actual application, practical application, we start at the root, what is closest to us in this very lifetime. So the closest is the close ones around us, around me, and particularly one's own kind mother, one's dear mother. So that's the first object of a practice of loving kindness, Jamba. And then gradually we extend it more and more, stage by stage, till in the end we extend it to all countless sentient beings.
And tanda rangu lusye, go lude, tanda rangu lule maro yuwaman de ya, ya si jingi de ma yinba. De suzu so jingi de ma yinba. Kene landar tenba as, landar tengurwa. Karenan rolo, de lo, se salo, ta ji karenan ji, jikwa chowya la sopa ta, te la sopa ta, landar mambo tengurwa. O tende, ha tende kepe, ta karen mambo jiyurwa, ta tato ya tengurwa, te chamba gomya tiri.
So to practically apply loving kindness, we start, as mentioned, with our very dear, kind mother. So yes, to remember the kindness of one's own mother, that without one's own mother, we would not have a body. We would not have like a life force in us. And also she was the one who taught us all the preliminaries of what is to be accepted and abandoned, the very worldly conduct. How we eat, how we clothe, how we go about, and all these things we learned initially from our mother. So henceforth, it's important to remember, to always remember the kindness of one's own mother. So that's the first stage of practice of mind training was loving kindness. The second is compassion. So also with compassion, likewise, similarly like with loving kindness, with compassion we start first with our close, very close one. So that's the mother again. So here we would give rise to the thought, oh, if my mother would suffer, even if somebody would inflict her great harm, even to try to cut one of her limbs, or even actually cut or try to cut her head, or if she would have other suffering, we would give rise to deep, altruistic, motivated compassion. And then again, from the mother, we would slowly extend it to ultimately include all other sentient beings. So, first, as mentioned, we start with loving kindness, then with compassion, and then we move towards the giving rise to enlightened mind, the bodhicitta. And in bodhicitta, we have two stages. So there's relative bodhicitta and absolute bodhicitta. In fact, there would be so much to say about that, but this is just now a brief general presentation. So if we look at relative and absolute bodhicitta, relative bodhicitta is then divided again into the two. The first would be like the aspiring bodhicitta as first, and then entering bodhicitta. So these are the two stages of the relative bodhicitta. And then on the other hand, absolute bodhicitta is the recognition of the significance of Mahamudra.
Mm-hmm. ngi gi ngun lan ro gu ya ge ta kar le sin na ge che gyo ta tan da de de ye song go le ngun ron de ne din zo go
So, and then before we talked, when we talked about the non-dro, we talked about the common and then the uncommon. So the common would be, as mentioned before, the four thoughts. In Tibetan, it's called lo tok. So it means actually to turn away the mind. So we turn the mind away from samsara. And in order to turn the mind away from samsara, we need a method. Just saying the words to turn the mind away from samsara would not do it. We would need a profound method. And the method, upaya, is exactly these four thoughts. So the first would be thoughts of contemplation, the contemplation upon the preciousness of this human life. So that's the first. They're all well known by you guys. And the second is contemplation upon impermanence. The third about the law of cause and effect. And the fourth of the suffering suffering of samsara. So if we truly contemplate and meditate these four thoughts, our mind will naturally turn away from samsara and will turn towards dharma. So naturally we will give rise to renunciation from samsara. So these are the practices. And based on that, as said before, we purify our mind stream from obscurations through the practice of Vajrasattva, accumulate merit through the mandala offering, and then give rise to the actual bodhicitta after having practiced loving kindness and compassion. So that's coming back to the quote of Lord Chittan Sumgan in the Fivefold Path of Mahamudra. It says in the end then, so persevere in this primary intention or in this preliminary practices. So henceforth, these non-dro or preliminary practices are very important, and we should truly deeply persevere with diligence.
Zoba chembo nyamni chia la ngunro yomare ngunro go mare chaje chembo la ngunro go re wes tene da kaje kaje tene da chwan da le de do o tene mare is ngunro de ta inji mini chaje chembo na re zoba chembo na re ngunro go yo re ta ngunro ngo mare ko sa sangi ji na te te han na sor khar wa ma do ke ngunro me wa ji la
So, but then today there's also some people who say, well, if we practice Dzogchen, maybe you don't need, or you don't need a preliminary practice, you don't need non-dro. But then maybe from Mahamudra you do need preliminary or non-dro practice. Well, this is not really true. So, in fact, for both, even if you want to practice Dzogchen or Mahamudra, you need to have this preliminary practice or the non-dro. It is essential and important. Without non-dro, there will be no true stage and path. There is except a few exceptional individuals who accumulated with a lot of preps from their past lives who are so instantly realizing what is to be realized in Mahamudra Dzogchen. Except them, everybody needs to practice the stages of non-dro.
Chajin Gomsana Namjing Kombari, Tojin Gomsana Namjing Kombari, Tago Mingi Talori Madoga, Nato Sanji Kombato, Sanji Kombato, and Duate Kanda Chajin Sena Teri, Dojin Sena Teri Madoki, Sanji Kombasin Logati, Yomarada Peri.
So, why are we actually practicing Mahamudra? Why are we practicing Dzogchen? It is the means, the profound means, to ultimately reach a state of omniscience or to reach a stage of full and complete enlightenment. So that's why we practice Mahamudra or Dzogchen. So there's no other Buddhahood than the essence of a Mahamudra or Dzogchen.
Then I chajin chigada teduri or madoke 당보 도진 세야다 차진 세야디 존에 드네 시수 치소 단들 문로제 고사리 세는 시수 주게 왔더니 말와 당보 니네 거 도진 세드니 이거 티캅드 차진 세 티캅니 거 유대와지 문로도 문기 세야다 유대와지 리스
So it is important to understand for us that both in the context of Mahamudra or Dzogchen, there's always like a preliminary practice and then the actual or the main practice. So, and there's also this sequence, there's this order. It's not that first you have the essence of the Mahamudra or Dzogchen instructions or the commentaries, and then afterwards would come some practice of Nondro. No, there's actually the sequence of the Nondro or the preliminary stages, preparation, and then the actual practice. Afterwards of Mahamudra or Dzogchen.
At the end, I wonder the kitchen, but Chuaram Songri, Chu Nuja Vedia, Mundo Subs. Mundo the Nuja, so Sabbath, Mundo Sabbath. And I don't know, Nuja Sabbath is here about the Naya, Mundo Nuja, so Sabbath, Mundo the Sabbath.
So in this context, there's also a very famous quote from Lord Chitan Sumgen where he says, even more profound than the main practice, meaning here of Dzogchen and Mahamudra, even more profound than the main practice is the preliminary practice. Usually we think or we say, well, there's the preliminary practice of the Nondro and then the actual profundity is the actual practice. No, he just turns it around. Even more profound than the main practice is the preliminary practice. So if we look at the analogy of a house or constructing a house, the most important is the foundation and then the foundation of strong walls, but particularly the foundation, the grounding. So that's the Nondro, that's the preliminary. No matter how beautiful and nice a house is, if the foundation is not strong, the whole house is not really strong. So that's the significance of the Nondro, the foundation, and that's why Nondro is so deep and profound. So then there's also another dimension of Nondro, the actual accumulation. You might be familiar with that. We do 100 times of each, which then goes into 500,000. So it's not just about counting either the Nondro. So we have to practice Nondro in an authentic way, just merely counting it. And that we put the only focus on just counting the numbers, that would not do it. For example, if we talk about the common Nondro, where we have the four thoughts which turn the mind, which we just covered, you have to really bring the deep meaning, the contemplation, the deep meaning of it together with your mind. Your mind has to merge with the deep significance of these four thoughts. Likewise, also in the uncommon Nondro, in the practice of refuge, you really have to merge your mind with taking refuge in an authentic, pure way. And also if you practice Vajrasattva, he won't just recite the mantra of Mental Sattva Samaya and so forth. He has to really bring together with an authentic mind, authentic motivation, what is called also the four powers. So it is important that we merge it with our mind in an authentic way and bring forth the deep significance of it. So the same I would say also, and I said many times, it's about, we have about the numbers and then also the span of time or the time span. It's not just, oh, I do Nondro for or the preliminary practice, let's say for a few years, for 3 years, 7 years, 9 years, 30 years, or even a whole life. It's about the quality, the authenticity, and it has to ripen into a practice. So it won't just do the numbers, nor the time span of years which we practice it. So this covered the first verse of this Song of Realization of the Fivefold Path of Mahamudra. The second is the practice of the Yidam. So the quote goes this way. If the stronghold of unchanging ground is not seized in one's own body, the king of the deity, the court of Mata Dakinis and retinue will not convene. So persevere in the Yidam of the body. So there's a deep significance in this second verse. So this very body which we have now, our physical appearance of the body with its aggregates, the skandhas, and elements, constituents, which are the dhatus, and the sense sources, the ayatanas, if you're familiar with them. So they're spontaneously, primordially there as the king of the deity. So the body itself is one's own body, the king of the Yidam or Yidam deity. So that's a deep significance to understand this. It's not something which appears anew or which is generated new. It is there since the beginning. So we have this deep meaning, as just pointed out, that our body is primordially, it is by nature the spontaneous appearance of the deities. Again, our skandhas, our aggregates, our elements, our sense sources, skandhas, dhatus, ayatanas are by nature spontaneously the deity. But it is not enough to just say that. Because with it goes a very subtle discursive dualistic thinking and attachment to the deity. And this has to be purified. So in order to purify that, we have to practice it. We have to practice the Yidam practice, not superficially, but in the true authentic way, that we realize that which was always spontaneously there. If we would give a world example, a worldly metaphor for this, if we have a lion in the family of a king, the king and its son, the prince, the firstborn prince, he will naturally become the king. But if he's not acting accordingly, or if he even forgets, would leave the kingdom and forgets that he's the prince, and is not trained that he actually actualizes the qualities of a future king, even though by nature he's the successor, the throne holder, he would not seize what is naturally his. So it says, if we don't do this, if we don't seize this ground, then it says the court of Maradakinis and retinue will not convene. So even if we, in this example again, would be born as a prince, the throne holder, if we don't act accordingly, if we don't give rise also on the outer way to the qualities, and will actually take hold later of the throne of a king, we will not get the authority, the power of the king, even though naturally we are in this line and we are predestined to be the throne holder. So that's why it is so important that we do practice the Dieti Yoga or Yidam practice. And henceforth, again, in the last two lines, so if we don't do this, as the court of Maradakinis and Retinue will not convene, so therefore persevere in the Yidam practice of your own body. So that's the second verse.
Mugudi Dima Mahana Chinapji Chujin Mjongwe Sem Mugundala Nendin Zu Seata Teri Sumbade.
So then we proceed naturally to the third one. The third is the Guru Yoga, where it says, if the sunlight of devotion has not dawned upon the Guru's four Kaya snow mountain, the flowing river of blessings will not come. So persevere in the mind of devotion.
Mm. lama kukiri kangara tawa ki tila kena mewa mara kena yu dewa riz. Ena yata soju ku towa ne tini mugu gu riz.
So the essence of this is, so we have the blessing of the Lama and devotion from the individual student side. So the Lama is the essence of the four kayas, just appearing as a huge serene snow mountain. So which is here the metaphor for the root of all the blessing. But now from the individual side, from my perspective, how can I receive this blessing? So I can only receive the blessing if the sun is shining upon this snow mountain of the Lama of the four kayas. And the sun is the sunlight of devotion from my individual side.
Lama truko drop, lama ngoo ni ko drop sini ta, ko hiya reiki na koran, chuko lungo truko ngoo ni ko ni, tene dutor diya de, tene hiya ko ni, tene lama nam juki go reis.
So then in the more extensive practices of this fivefold path of Mahamudra, according to Lord Chitin Sungan, in this third stage of the Guru Yoga, there is actually one practice individually upon the four kayas of the Lama. So there's a practice upon the Dharmakaya aspect of the Lama, upon the Sambhogakaya aspect of the Lama, upon the Niyamanakaya aspect of the Lama, and then also the essence or Svabhavika Kaya aspect of the Lama.
Lamegi to Ta chugo longo drugo ngova niko Ta soso chenanda Kido domnanda kanda Tiye tini to de Lama drugo Lama longo Lama chugo Lama ngova niko ge Tiye to de da Tene ngaranzo ge sem ti La Nisu meba jirwa Ya Nisu meba jirwa Lama to the Rasin Yemi Chumayena, then Chenap da Womat Telsegori, Chenap Topsiad.
So, if we look at the word of blessing or Chin Lap, some is translated also of waves of inspiration, literally, but blessing generally. So, it says if we practice upon the Lama, we receive the blessing. So, what is meant by that? So, from the enlightened mind, from the Chitta, of the Lama is the essence, either the essence of the four kayas as one essence, or the Lama in the sphere of the Nirmanakaya, Sambhogakaya, Dharmakaya, and then Svabhavikakaya. So the citta or the enlightened mind of the Lama is to be recognized as non-dual from my own individual mind. Or in other words, to inseparably unite or merge one's own mind, with the enlightened dimension of the citta mind of the Lama. So that's what is meant of receiving blessing.
The guys that Lama told the young, Lama told the Kukikadani, Kukikarangi, Chukulungu Togodang, or when you cook, yes, and other Kosoms and other Kanda, here Imba Kosom the Kukikadani Imba. Here Nangimba Ryan. Then it could get a cost on Dani Imbati Taco Gurva, or Tindu. The Imbate, then a Kokari Imbate, Nello Korang or Kari Imbate Lame Gita Mutoga, Nello Tedan, Ranga Sank and Nello Kiba Madani, don't amuk on your mara, or that Tedan, the Chick Madani or Mari, or that did Ton the Toyena, then it does an abs.
So, again, if we talk about the enlightened mind or citta of the Lama, it is the embodiment of the four kayas, sometimes also named as three kayas, again, body embodiment of four or three kayas. But then also me, from the individual side, in actuality, in the true sense of the mode of abiding of reality, I'm also in essence the embodiment of the four kayas, four or three kayas. So that's to be recognized. It is to be recognized that the true mode of abiding, or the true reality of the essence of the Chitta enlightened mind of the Lama, as well as my own mind, Sem, is in essence the same. So they are one. They are not two. Henceforth, this non-dual unity. And to recognize this means to receive blessings. So that's the true significance, the deep meaning of it. Again, in the words, it's in the metaphor, in the simile or metaphor that the Lama is the snow mountain of the four kayas, and the student's devotion is the sunlight which shines upon the snow mountain. But the deep significance is just what was mentioned before. So then in the fivefold Mahamudra, the fourth verse, the actual practice of Mahamudra, it says, if the cloud masses of thoughts have not subsided within the spacious sky of the nature of mind, planets and stars of twofold knowledge will not shine. So persevere in the non-conceptual mind. So if the cloud mass of thoughts have not subsided within the spacious sky of the nature of mind. So nature of mind here is Simni. So it's an actual nature of mind, which is the same as the Dharmakaya. And a metaphor for the Dharmakaya nature of the nature of one's mind is the sky, the open, vast sky. And then on the other hand, we have the temporary obscurations of discursive, of dualistic thinking, which is like the clouds. So if the clouds cover the sky, if the sky is overcast, we cannot see the planets and the stars of the twofold knowledge or deep insight. Even though they're obviously there, the planets and the stars, but we could not see it if the sky is covered with clouds. Henceforth, it says, so persevere in this non-conceptual mind. So then in the actual instructions upon Mahamudra, the instructions or practices, sometimes we talk about the practice in the context of the Prajnaparamita. We talk about the practice of deep meditative absorption, dhyanas, and then the wisdom or prajna. So that's one, dhyana and prajna. And also we talk in different contexts about the practices of calm abiding, shamatha, and the practice of deep meditative insight, vipassana. But in actuality, these two stages are almost the same. They're just almost synonymous. Dhyana and prajna on one side, and shamatha and vipassana.
That's the thing.
So if we look first at the practice of a calm abiding or shamatha, so the method in order to pacify the mind is shamatha. So the meditation or practice of shamatha is there to, it's the upaya, the profound method to pacify the mind. So, and if we don't practice calm abiding or shamatha, our mind is too active and stirred up. In the context of the 12 links of interdependent origination, it says that this consciousness of ours is like a monkey, this untrained consciousness, based upon ignorance with the arising of consciousness, which is like this monkey, this untrained monkey, which is wild in his physical activities, his consciousness through the eye consciousness and so forth. So that's the metaphor for the untrained mind. So henceforth, we have this profound instructions of a calm abiding, that to pacify all these stirrings of the mind, and to abide relaxed freely or naturally. So henceforth, we have a calm abiding. So all these activities of commotion of our body and mind, the profound method to pacify them or to come to a natural rest and relaxation is a calm abiding or shamatha. So if we look roughly into the methodology of shamatha or calm abiding, generally we talk there is a calm abiding with support and without support. So calm abiding with support could be any, let's say, mundane support, like a peckle, a small stone, a piece of wood, something which we have in front of us and which our mind and the eye consciousness undistractedly abides. So one-pointedly, undistractedly abiding upon a support. So that's called shamatha with support. And then we have also the stages of shamatha without support. So here we have the stages of practicing with a prana, with our breath or without the breath. So there's different methods which we can apply with support, without support, other methods in shamatha practice. But the essence is always that our mind, our discursive thinking, comes to a natural state of peace and relaxation. So which means that we don't follow the discursive thinking, the thoughts and emotions of the past. We don't anticipate the future. And for the present moment, we don't fabricate the present moment. So without doing this, naturally abiding, so this is the means of a peaceful, calm abiding of shamatha. So when we before talked about shamatha without support, there, if you remember, we have to practice with prana, basically means breath here. So there will be practices all where we work with inhalation, exhalation, and the abiding of breath between these two, inhalation and exhalation. But then in the stage of the practice of shamatha without support, without breath, meaning without the method of the breath or prana. So this is the profound method of letting the mind rest naturally in its own place. So this method of without support, without breath, means to let the mind rest or be whatever rises. If there's meditative experiences of shunyata, of emptiness, let the mind rest and be just in that. If it's clear and the clarity aspect is strongly there, so let it rest and be in that. So whatever just arises in the mind, let it just rest and be. So when discursive thinking arises, they do arise, disperse them, let it settle actually. After discursive thinking is dispersed, naturally let the mind rest in itself. So in Vipassana, before we taught Vipassana with support and without support, so these stages, and then we have without support, we have with breath or without breath. Then there's also some other methodology in shamatha where we talk shamatha with characteristic and shamatha without characteristic. So this is the two stages of tightening the mind and relaxing the mind. Shamatha with characteristic is firmly tighten your mind, focus your mind, and shamatha without characteristic is to let the mind be free, open, and settled. So in this context, also Great Lopan Gurumji said, in the context of instructions of a completion stage practice, bring forth a strength of intrinsic awareness or rigpa. Let your sense faculties be vivid and consciousness very sharp. So there's also key points of the body posture which we have to to know and also to apply. And the eyes would stare in the space. And sometimes your own breath or prana is sometimes very forcefully expelled. I saw this personally, some practitioners who do this. And in this context, as mentioned before, to bring forth the strength of your own Rigpa awareness, intrinsic awareness. And for this, scatter all the discursive thinking of the past, present, and future, and merely behold this vivid nakedness of whatever is there. So some also practice, I saw this when I was young, when they are in the stages of practice, that through the mouth, through a deep exhalation of ha, they expel the breath and stay in, and through this in a state of meditation. So all this just mentioned before, this are all profound methods to tighten one mind, to focus fiercely, strongly one's mind in the context of completion stage practice with characteristic. And then without characteristic is to completely relax and let the mind be as it is. When we talk, mind and body go together. When we tighten the mind, both mind and body tighten, and even Rinpoche showed physical postures of tightening the body. And then when we at once abruptly let go of this, mind also lets go. And mind just rests in its own way, round up, meaning settle in its own place. So for this, discursive thinking, as well as also like disturbing emotions like the kleshas, the gross ones get immediately cut. But then also the subtle ones, subtle discursive thinking and kleshas, let them naturally rest in themselves. So, and the key instruction how to practice it, we should do this in many sessions, in short sessions in terms of time span, but many repetitions. And sometimes in sessions we tighten mind and body very tightly, like in this instructions which were just given, and then do an interchange. After that, we relax the mind completely again and let it open and let it rest in itself. But if the mind is too relaxed and too settled, Sometimes the obscurations to the practice come in, like as a dull mind, a sinking mind, sleepy mind even. And if this is the case, then tighten again. So we do this alternative between tightening and loosening the mind. And this actual practice of tightening and loosening, it is the actual manner of applying is not the same for everybody. It depends on the individual constituents of our body mind. Some have a very strong constituent of the earth element, for example, others a water element or the other elements, they were not mentioned here. So whatever is needed according to your individual needs and prerequisites, practice the stages of tightening and loosening. So after we practice the stages of calm abiding of shamatha, that the mind really becomes undistracted, focused and stable, and we empower ourselves, we get self-control upon our own mind with this practice of shamatha, that the mind naturally sits and abides peacefully. After having done this, then we move on to the practice of insight meditation or vipassana. So it is important that first mind is really pacified through this practice of shamatha, henceforth that is calm, peaceful abiding. And only for this we can then proceed in the stages of vipassana. Which actually means, the vipassana means to behold the essence of the mind, to recognize the essence of the mind. Even though the essence of the mind is there, but if we haven't accomplished shamatha, if the mind is too stirred up by this dualistic discursive thinking and disturbing emotions, we will not be able to recognize it. And in some very, very clear and very distinct instructions, it says in Tibetan, this mind which abides, directly looking into this and recognizing it, that's vipassana. So, but then through the actual stages of guiding through vipassana, when we said this mind which abides, who is actually abiding? Is it the body which abides? Is it mind which abides? So we have to investigate and analyze this. So So if we come to the conclusion upon initial question, what or who abides? Oh, mind abides. So if we have a strong inclination, oh yes, mind abides in calm abiding, then we have a strong tendency to make an entity, a thingness out of this mind. So then in the next stages, it's important to investigate and analyze what constitutes this mind. Does it have a form? Is it like square or round or any other form? Does it have a color, white, red, yellow? Or does it have a size? Is it long or short? So we have to, we really think, well, there is a mind which abides as an entity. We should try to find it and investigate it. So, for example, if we look at sense sources and sense consciousness and the object which we perceive, for example, through the sense faculty of the eye, an eye consciousness perceives a form. And for the sense faculty of the ear, an ear consciousness perceives sound. So if we look into this and analyze it, what is actually the individual process of perception? Is it individually? Do they go individually, like the eye consciousness, which perceives a shape, a form, or the sound consciousness, which perceives a sound? Are they distinctly separate, or are they together as one? So further we look, still investigating upon this mind and consciousness. Well, how is it in relation to our organs, to my heart, to my lungs, my liver, the five great organs, digestive organs, the qualities of elements in there, like fire of digestion, so forth. If the mind is really in the body, where does it abide? Is it one of these specific places just mentioned, an organ? Or if it pervades the body in general, well, what is the quality of this pervasive quality? And if they are completely inseparable, body and mind, if they would be just one and completely inseparable and pervasive, so then if the body dies, if we pass away and the body is left behind, so what's happening with the mind then? So in this context, we have to investigate and analyze how or where does mind come from? Where does mind abide and where does it go?
Kandendo, the Tambo Kane Shonsa Gatusu Kaduri, ते कावा नहीं दो ते तमा कहने रोशो आ दिल तागोर.
So then, if we think, well, mind just calmly or peacefully abides in the context of shamatha, so we should look, well, what is actually then the, what qualifies this mind? What is the nature of this mind? Where does it arise, this abiding mind? Where and how does it abide? And finally, where does it go? So we need to do this until we come to a final conclusion, to a final decision without any doubt. It's very important that we reach this stage. So we need to do this to analyze it till we come to this decisive conclusion with certainty. We need to gain certainty in ourselves. So first we analyze the mind. We seek the mind, what is mind, and afterwards we investigate the seeker himself. So what constitutes the seeker, this mind which seeks? So if we do this, so that we come to a point without doubt and gain certainty.
So yeah, that then, that is a mambo. That then, Kandosana, Namdo siya the semi mataje.
So we have to come to decisive conclusions. So there's actually lots to say about these stages here in the longer commentaries. The next stage is to come to a decisive conclusion that discursive thinking is mind itself. So if we analyze discursive thinking, we recognize it's not different from mind. We recognize it's mind itself, discursive thinking. The next stage is to recognize that all appearances are in fact mind, to come to a decisive conclusion about that. And then in relation to the mind, the abiding aspect of mind, the arising abiding and dissolving aspect of mind, if we analyze it, we recognize it that it is unborn, actually, it is mind, and this stage of arising, abiding and disappearing. So through all these stages, we have to come to decisive conclusion and gain certainty. So we have to go through these whole stages, stage by stage, and again, always come to a decisive conclusion. First, we practice, as mentioned briefly, the practice of shamatha, calm abiding. And after that, we practice the different levels of insight meditation, vipassana. We search, investigate, look for the mind. And then just what was mentioned before, we go through the stages of four or fivefold decisive conclusions. And after we've done that all, then is the actual introduction in the nature of the mind, where your teacher or your lama directly introduces into the nature of the mind and points out and says, this is the nature of your mind. So there is the distinctive way of presenting all the stages according to the fivefold path of Mahamudra, for example, in the Shelong, in the oral commentary of Ratnadharmakirti, this famous Drikung Lama. So there's this actual, all these details of guiding the students through shamatha practice, vipassana practice, and then the stages of a direct introduction into the nature of the mind. But if we talk about this, the actual significance of Mahamudra, if we look in another Mahamudra commentary, it's called the Ganges Mahamudra, where Tilopa at the river Ganges pointed out the essence of Mahamudra to Naropa. He says that actually Mahamudra in actuality cannot be shown. So there's no support as Mahamudra can be shown very much as the sky cannot be pointed out. So you could say it cannot be shown or not, it's without support. So if you look into the sky, you cannot limit the sky with your finger and say, this here is actually the sky. So there's no support upon which the sky abides. And in the same sense, there's no actual support or no way to point out to say this is exactly Mahamudra. There's no object, so to say, very technically speaking, upon which the essence of Mahamudra abides. And further it says, stay very relaxed in its innate place without any fabrication. Resting in this, in true mode of abiding, completely release into this recognition of the essence. Or in other contexts it is said, if you release the tight grip of holding, there is liberation. There is no doubt about that. So it says in another example here, also in the Ganga Mahamudra, if you look in the center of the vast open sky, the looking itself dissolves into the sky. Similarly, if mind looks in itself, the discursive thinking naturally subsides, and you will reach the unsurpassed state of Buddhahood.
Well, that day, namka ke korang namka rangi dala ta khado da ye le kon de bari ye me ba de bari tene je karbo ta nabo se ya to ko ta kai ko to karbo re se ya ta nabo se ya tene ku ku ba mi pe te ge ndo tene rang ke sem ge ning bo dala tene khado de le ye de ne se te te tam be ban de bari te je sana je gewa dikwa के कारवो नबोस या के ती चुग देगता गेदे काना चुग जितने कुबा मुग बारिस कुबार में जोर
So the sky is naturally it's unstained. It is without ground, vast and open, and we cannot point out to the sky, and particularly it is beyond any characteristics of any form, any color. We cannot say the sky is predominantly blue or black or white. It is free of all these superimpositions or states. Likewise, the essence of the nature of the mind is beyond any characteristics. It's beyond any shapes, beyond any colors, completely beyond that. It is beyond any superimpositions of virtuous and non-virtuous dharma, so-called black or white accumulations of dharma. It is completely unstained and beyond that.
That begin that yana penasi, salwa, tangba, nimegi, nimbo, teyang. That kapatonga mumba ke dem numas, demotops, kapatonga mumba yona dem nibri. Pe tegin or ranga singi nimbo de, ranga singi nimbo usavate, de.
Another example given in this Gangama Mudra, it is said the clear luster center of the essence of the sun is always shining and clear, and not even a thousand eons of darkness could obscure the sun in its essence. Likewise, this essence of the nature of the mind is by nature luminous clear light, and no accumulation, no abiding of mind in samsara for eons could obscure this essence of the nature of the mind of clear luminosity. So, and likewise, it is said, this mind, completely free of any reference point, this is Mahamudra. If we get accustomed in this, and if we practice this, we will reach for this the unsurpassed state of Buddhahood.
What is it? That the day, sorry. Tanda Nansu Chidam, there have been a Chaja Chambos, then Uma Chambos, Goba Chambos, that has awesome Saturday. Go to that thing, you done the Chagim Malana song or the Yiji Travan the Chaja Chis. Chaja Chimbos yada, kaan yil mishba. Te chaja chimbore yis. Tan derin mari siya ki yil mishba chaja chimbore yis. Tan ta da trao oma chimbo yis. Ruban ta samdi da trao somad oma chimbo yis. Ruwa ta da trao oma chimbo yis.
Nasa?
Ta da tam ki kun ju dewa te dhokba chimbo yis. Ruwa. Dini kun ju dhokji ki jasa as. Then the Chaja Chimbo Siada, Doba Chimbo Siada, Oma Chimbo Siada, then the Sosa Meva, Godua, Chajim Mana Songua.
So, very often we talk about the three great generations, the great Madhyamaka, the great Mahamudra, and great Dzogchen. And in another famous prayer in Mahamudra aspiration of the third Kamapa, it says, Mahamudra is that which is completely beyond the activity of mind, beyond of superimposing characteristics of mind being for example, this is this, or it's exactly like that, completely free of that. That's Mahamudra. Completely beyond any extremes or free of any elaboration. That's Madhyamaka. And that which all encompasses all of this is the great perfection or Dzogchen. So Rinpoche would basically like to conclude instructions with this. So again, today is this very special day, the 25th or the Kini day in Sakadawa. It's this very special and auspicious day, particularly also related to Lord Chikten Sumgen. And from all his qualities, his enlightened quality of enlightened body, enlightened speech, and enlightened mind, particularly precious and valuable for us is the speech. The enlightened speech is, in fact, that which we can enjoy through the Dharma, through his instructions and words. And based on this, Rinpoche was pleased to give today this commentary, this short commentary, based on the enlightened speech of Lord Chikten Sumgen, the Fivefold Path of Mahamudra. So for this, Rinpoche would like to conclude this teaching. There is nothing special more to add on top, except saying Dashi Delek. Usually I would say it in the beginning. Since I haven't said it in the beginning, I say now Dashi Delek to all of you, and I'm very pleased we could meet again.